Morning. Sorry, my voice. good morning. It's good to be here. I bring a greetings from my wife. She likes to be here, but she has to cook. You say, why? Why are you supposed to cook? No, I'm just saying that. Our church had potluck this afternoon, so she has to make dishes before the church starts. So, and also, it's always good to be back and see some old friends. And some of you probably don't recognize me. Like, I just met someone who, I know their parents, but I know the name of that person, but he probably, who's this guy, you know? But it's good to be reminded. God's grace is always with us, even though we may not see each other that often. And I was just amazed at how God is working at Home of Christ. And I give glory to God. And before I came, my daughter called me. Some of you know, some of you don't know. I have two daughters. And the one who called me lives in Philadelphia. Because she texted me yesterday, she pulled her back. And so I was concerned. I was really, oh, what's wrong, you know? So I text her, are you okay? Do you need to see a doctor? You know, obviously she didn't reply, just like normal. she's no longer a good kid. In my mind, she always is a kid. But anyway, she didn't reply until this morning. She said, I'm okay. And then I said, do you want to FaceTime? I don't know you and your parents or parent, you and your kids, when you talk with them either in person, through phone, or through the text messages, do they reply at once? Mine usually don't. So, and then I go get ready, take a shower, and then when I came out, my wife said, oh, Janice is on the phone FaceTiming us. So I got to talk to her and see how she's doing. And I told her, hey, I'm going back to Home of Christ. And obviously, she had this blank look at me. Because she was very young when she was here. And I remind her, that's the church you and Jeje, her older sister, was baptized at this church. So it's always good to count God's blessings in our lives. And I'm sure God also works in your life. So, oops, I didn't have the clicker. Okay, all right. So they're gonna try to help me to advance the slides. I want to share with you a passage you may know very well, but I hope it is something today. Thank you. Thank you. My title is The Longing Heart of Jesus. It's from the book of Matthew. I wonder, this morning, I don't know about you, but what do you long for this morning? Before you come, what do you long for? What do you want today be? Maybe like most of my congregants, they long for Pastor Joseph, don't preach too long. I'm known for long-winded, you know. So or you just say, hey, you know. So I'm not sure what you long for, your heart's desire. For those who are basketball fans, I wonder what you long for yesterday when Game 7 came. Who do you want to win? And then on Wednesday, the final come. What's your team? Who you long for? Or for parents, for all of us, what do we long for this morning? What's our desire? Do we long for the Word of God to teach us how to be a parent that God used to bring up our children in the Lord? But for the students, what you long for, what you desire this summer, go to a mission trip, doing nothing. I hope through these short passage in Matthew 37 to 39, we understand the heart of God and how He longs for each one of us to know Him and to come under His wings. So if you can, let's read together. It's only three verses, so it's not that hard. And I choose one of the easier versions, New Living Translation. Someone said that translation, if you only a third grader, you should be able to read it. Okay, so it's a very simple translation. So let's read together, verse 37. Let's read. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messenger. How often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. And look, your house is abandoned and desolate. For I tell you this, you will not see me again until you say, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, thank you for your word. You ask us to come. And only you can draw us to come before you. I pray that, Lord, you cleanse me. May the Spirit speak through me, in spite of my shortcomings. And Father, I pray that all those of here, they will listen to your word, not my voice. May they come to face to face with the reality of your word. Bless our time together. May we receive all the glory and honor. For I pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The screen means nothing to me now because I changed my glass. Because I can't read my writing otherwise. So, but I want to show the three verses we just read. I want us to kind of think through in this way. Think through like a movie, you know. I don't know any of you what kind of drama you like to watch. I'm a K-drama guy. So I watch Korean drama whenever I have time, which is not many. But then I would try to binge watching a little bit and then short. Anyway, so each movie have its context. Same as the Bible, it's always a context. And Matthew 23, verse 37 to 39 has a very important context for us to understand why Jesus said what he said. And once we understand the context, then we look at the text. What is the text really telling us that Jesus wants us to understand today? And how does that apply to us? And within the text, always have an image. And what does that image imply? And how does that help us? Because nowadays, 2026, I just realized that's no longer 2025. 2026. Time go really fast. You know today, what day is today? Some of you say, oh, let me see my phone. Today is the last day of May in 2026. Tomorrow is June 1st. It's a brand new month. So the image tells us a lot of things. And that within the context of the text and the image, we see a response when Jesus spoke to his people. and reveal his sorrow. And yet within that sorrow, God give us a promise. So I hope that's something that we can follow along as we see these three verses. But before that, I'd like you to see a picture. If you're from Hong Kong, you know this rock. Can you see, can you read the verse, the thing? This, for Cantonese, is a Mong Fu Sek. Okay, it's a very famous tourist, I guess it's a tourist attraction. I haven't been back to Hong Kong 40 years, so I have no idea what it is. But the reason I want to show you this famous rock is because it has a legend. It basically, the rock depict a woman. On her back, there was a child. It's basically this legend have two versions, but both version is talking about a woman who stand there to wave her husband to come back. Her longing, her desire to see her husband come back and united with the family. And Jesus long for you and I today. So we look at the context. We just read Matthew 23, 37 to 39. And the context of that was Jesus' last public words to the crowd and the religious leaders while he was in the temple. And afterward, he will leave and basically head to the cross. So this is really kind of like the very last public announcement, speech, words to the crowd. Okay? And then, but before this three verses in Matthew 23, before that, in the whole chapter 23, Jesus talked about seven woes, or you are in trouble, seven times to the religious leaders, telling them that they're hypocrites, you don't live out the way you are supposed to. You're supposed to teach and guide people, but you yourselves are blind. You're a blind guiding blinds. And worse yet, he said, you are shepherds, are wipers, because their life didn't reflect what they claim. They are supposed to be people of the kingdom of God, and yet they are not, they're hypocrites. And then, instead, you know, when you're reading this seven pointed words at the religious leaders, he's saying, instead, he should be angry. He's very, very angry at them. Yet, when we're looking at verse 37 to 39, we see the mood change. As Jesus, he's not angry, but he's really weeping, have a lament. He wants to show God's people. He longs for them to know his love. He cries in love. So this morning, as we're going to look at the text, we realize Jesus is not just a spectator. He's really addressed a very important city, Jerusalem, that's the people God dwells. He addressing God's people that he wants them to hear what he's saying about himself and also about you. So it's not something to, it doesn't apply to me. It does. So the text, we just read it. I'm not going to ask you to read again, but in this text, we know the context. Jesus addressed his people and the crowd. And this, and he, very interesting, if you want to ask them to hear you, I should ask you, if someone want your attention, just like now, I want your attention, what should I call you? How should I address you? A dear ones? If I'm a teacher, students, if I'm a parent, hey, you. Yeah, but very interesting, the way Jesus called their attention is kind of name-calling them, right? He say, hey, you, you're what? You're the one who kills. You're the one who stones. Wow. If you want their attention, you don't want to scold them, right? You want them to kind of... So in here, what Jesus said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And then he said, you are the one who are murderer. You murder God's messenger who bring you good news. That's not a good way to get attention. But then what Jesus really here is saying, he's not really name calling them, but he's being honest. Want them to face the reality. Because just like the crowds in some 2,000 years ago, you and I also have a history of rejecting God. Share a little story about me. I came to the state in 1977. I do not want to come. I was working, I'm enjoying my life. The first time ever, I got a paycheck. And I can spend any way I want, because I live at home, so I don't have to pay rent. I don't have to pay meal fee like a restaurant, because mom will cook. All I do is just get up, go to work, come. No, I don't come back after work. I go party, you know? Just drink, party, you know? So I'm having a good time. And so my dad said, hey, we're going to, do you want to go to U.S.? I say, no. Why? I'm enjoying my life. I don't need any change. Because at that time, I felt that I'm the master of my life. I don't need anything called God. I don't need a new place. I'm having fun. So my whole life lived just pleasing myself. I'm rejecting this God. But then the text tells us, yeah, first part of verse 37 said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I have wanted to gather you. In here, if you read the text and you try to put yourself in the situation that when Jesus was speaking, like you put yourself in the scene, you'll hear a very loving tone. It's a tone that is not angry. He's not accused them, but rather it's Jesus said, it's very interesting, if you look at the verse, he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Anytime when you read the Bible, you see a phrase or a word that repeats itself, it's not only just giving an emphasis, but rather is one to call attention. In here, Jesus revealed a very deep emotions. It's like a parent who calls his child in. While I was, a while back, while my older daughter came back from Charleston, South Carolina, they were there working and have a child, and they decided to move back to California. And so at that time, we, being a good parent, sold our home because all my kids are gone. We're empty nest. So we said we need, and then my daughter told me, hey, I'm expecting the first grandchild. So what do you do as a grandparent? Go and help them. So we sold our home, moved to Charleston, South Carolina, helped them settle down, and bought them a home as well. So grandparent. I thought, oh, okay, they'll be there for a while. But after a year, they said, oh, we're coming back. What do you do? And then when they came back, of course, they need a home to live. And we're living in an apartment, so both of us renting apartments. We say, oh, that's too expensive. So we say, oh, why don't you go buy a home? Well, I told my daughter. So obviously, she finding a home. But she can't afford it. So what do? You go to your parents. You say, hey. Then I said, I'm not going to live with you. It's easy to see each other, but it's hard to live together. So anyway, long story short, is she finding a home that's too big for them. How big? It has 4 bedrooms and 3 baths. They only have 3 people. So, and we purchased a home together. So they live upstairs, we live downstairs. While we're living there, why do I go the long tone? Is I want to convey this idea of the emotions. One day, my grandkid came down because we're living downstairs. I was up and I was doing making hot water, trying to make coffee. And he came down. And somehow, for some unknown reason, I pour my water in the cup. He knocked it off. He knocked it off the way the hot water poured down her shoulder. And you could see the agony, because you could see the skin peel off right in front of your eyes. I say, Enoch, that's my son, my grandson's name. You just have that grief. What happened? And that's what Jesus telling the audience at that time. He say, oh, Jerusalem, my people. How I desire, long to gather you. The way this text revealed the tone that Jesus called to his people, it's kind of like a very famous story in the Bible, the prodigal son. We know the story well, but in that story, in one sentence, it revealed the longing heart of this father. Because after so long, the son had squandered all his wealth. He desired to come back. And while he's coming back, the scripture tells you, he rose and came to the father, but while he was still a long way off, what he's telling you is like the picture I show you. The mother stand on the hill, looking out for the husband come back. In the same way, this father been going out and look for, wait for the son come back. So while he's so far away, he could see, oh, that's my son. He could say, you, and then give him all the reasons. I don't want to see you. But the scripture tells us in loving tone and an embrace, reveal the heart of a father. And same way in Matthew 23:37, reveal the heart of our Lord Jesus. He said, I have longed for you. So now you got the text. You got, instead of a name calling, but telling the truth, they are really rejecting him. And through his voice, through his tone, he revealed his heart. And then let's look at the image. Because in that verse, it's very interesting. The verse said, I have longed to gather you as a hen protects the chick beneath her wings. In here, a hen and a chick. How many of you have seen this picture? You know chicken, right? But you never see a picture like that, huh? When I'm trying to look for a picture to help us, is you see, you know those, I don't know on which side your screen is, but you know the black one, the black hand, you know, it basically is raining, right? So the mother didn't want the children get wet. It's thunderstorm. You know, for those of us who are kids or grandkids, or you're a kid, your mom, your dad, you always tell, when it's raining, what do they tell you? Just go out, get wet. No, right? They say, bring an umbrella. See, my grandkids always say, there's no rain. Because I said, it's going to rain. You want them to prepare, right? So even when it's raining, they say, no, I like to go out and dance on the street. So, but we being protective, we want to them avoid dangers, avoid getting wet and get sick. On the other side, the white one, actually, when I look up this picture, it was a danger there. I didn't get the video and show you. There was a cobra standing in front of the chicken. A snake was trying to eat the little chick. So the mother trying to gather them and protect them. So you get the image, yeah? Okay? So now we're going to look at how Jesus in here, through the image, tell us his longing heart for his people. Because first, if you read the verse, it said, how often I have wanted to gather you. You know, I'm not a native speaker, so I have to learn very hard on the way English work. How often? He said, yeah, how often? You know, it basically reveals many times repeatedly. It's talking a persistence of Jesus. And when I trying to convey the idea how often, I'm just reminded because recently my grandchildren are learning piano. I had to tell them, do you know when your mom, when they start learning piano, how often, how many times grandpa had to say, go practice. But it never registered. And same way now, my grandkids, when I go, I say, did you practice? They always say, yeah. That's a play for me. It showed they never practiced. You know how often? You need to persist them. And what Jesus is trying to convey is, hey, I'm persistently want to do something. He said what? He wanted what? He wanted to gather them. You know the word wanted or learning or longing? It's the Greek word of fellow. It's really not just, hey, I want today, later. You know, like my wife, if she doesn't want to cook, she always say, what do you want to eat? You get what she's saying? What do you want to eat? Because I don't need to know what I need, because I figure out you should cook it for me. I'm not a, I'm not someone who demands that. But I figure out, hey, that should be food at home. Whenever she said, what do you want to eat? That means she doesn't want to coax you on. You go out and buy something. That's her desire. That's all she wants. You know, that's not that kind of follow the word. But rather, it's describing our Lord Jesus. He really had a determined longing of the heart. Basically, he's talking about his choice. He desired to make a choice that is not for his convenience, not for his pleasure, but for the benefit of his people. He said, I desire, I wanted, I long. That's the will that he had made. And, you know, hopefully some of you later on, by God's grace, you will want to learn the Bible in its original language. In here, the Greek text is basically telling, I myself, it's an emphasis, not just I, but I myself, totally involved into it. And then, what does he desire is? As a hand gather his cheek, he said, I want to gather you children. The word gather is a compound word. It's really telling you that God wants to bring these chicks, they're all different area, different direction, but gather them all together under her protection. And what does it tell us? It's about shelter, giving protection, sometimes sacrifice herself in light of dangers, and she's the one who initiate the protection. And I thought of, I usually like to use some story in my life to try to, not just because I'm good, just because it hopefully make more personal connection with you about how does the image is telling us that God longed to gather Jerusalem, his people, under his wings. I forgot who that I talked to just now. I just told them, hey, I spent 2 days with my grandkids, because my grandkids like to come to our home. He said, oh, you must be a good grandpa. No. They like to come to our home because they could do whatever they want. At home, parents say, don't watch this, don't do this, don't, come to our home, we only say, okay, streaming, 1 hour, that's it. But then 1 hour up, they still continue streaming, you know? So we try to, they like to come because we give them freedom. They like to come because they can eat anything we cook for them. Because at home, mom doesn't cook that well. So she likes to come and say, oh, grandpa, can I have this? Oh, grandma, can I have this? So in that sense, they like to come, but then how do they understand our love is not just let them do anything, but with the protection that they know God loves them. So when they come, once in a while, we have blackout. Do you know what's blackout? Right? Suddenly no electricity. And I remember one time when it was at night, because they sleep over, and they always sleep over, and then we could spend some time together. One night, there was a blackout. When it started, what did they do? When you have blackout, what do? Just sit there. Well, it'll come back soon. No, when you're a little kid, remember, they're a little kid, the first thing they would say, ah! Right, because they have no idea what to do. And then they would say, and then we'll go hug them. then my wife would go light a candle. Right? So they would feel, oh, we're okay. Think of that. Our Lord, he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you. In the face of, in the eyes of a 10 and 7-year-old kids, they're frightened with uncertainty, darkness. For those of us, maybe 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70s, we're frightened with what lies ahead for us. We wonder, will I yell if uncertainty comes and I don't know how to handle it? Where is God? How do I face it? And the Lord wants to tell you this morning through Matthew 23, 37, and 39. He say, oh, if you put your name in place of Jerusalem, that's what Jesus is telling you. Oh, Joseph, Joseph, I'm using my name. How I long to gather you. God is telling us, he's like a hand gathering his people. But yet, we see the sorrow in Jesus' text here. He said, how often I wanted to gather you, and yet the people said, you wouldn't let me. Throughout the history, if we read the scripture, we see Jesus been calling people to come to him through his action, through the lives that are being changed, through the testimony of those who know him. And yet, people around, or even in this sentence, remember, chapter 23, the previous 36 verses, talking about the religious leaders. They supposed to know God, and yet in their life, they have rejected him. They've been pretend. They wear masks. So Jesus called them hypocrites. They wouldn't come to him. That's the problem. That's the problem nowadays. See, the barrier to know God is not knowledge. It is here. It's our will, our choice. And it's a consistent choice. So, if we say we're not ready, it's not really not ready, but rather, we don't want to come under God's protections. But by God's grace. See, you know, I don't know about you, huh? So I share with some people many, many years through Bible study, through conversation, through just interaction. They just wouldn't want to make that say, I want to believe. Sometimes you just say, come on. You've been here 10 years. What else you don't understand? Or is it really I'm that bad, I can't explain? Or really you that dumb, you don't understand? No. It's just at the end of the day, people desire, they don't want to. Then you say, oh, that's hopeless. No. What God give us is really a promise. At the end of verse 39, and now look, Jesus said, your house is desolate and abandoned. For I tell you this, you will not see me again unless you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. In God's promise, there are two sides of the coin. First, he said, we can persistently reject God. That's our choice. And what God's saying then, at the end, your house will be abandoned and desolate. What he's trying to say is your life will be without God. When our life without God, we headed to eternal punishment. And that reminds me, in any church, we can have a lot of activities, we have a lot of programs, we have things are fun, we have things are educational, but without Christ, or religion without Savior, it's just worthless, empty. But the other side of the promise is that God's door is still open. He said, until you say. What does that until mean? Means God said, there's still chance. As long as you come to realization that you want to acknowledge Him is the one who God promised, come and give us blessings. Through Him, we have eternal life. So he said, as long as you say, meaning you acknowledge Him, He's the blessing. He's come in the name of the Lord. He's the Messiah. He's the one we're waiting for. Then, that's the promise. So this is really a condition and an opening. God is saying that, you know, like the song we just sung, that's the day we all bow before Him. We acknowledge Him. But it's really God's blessing for those who are willing to come. So, am I closing? So for those of us who know Christ, we call you brothers and sisters. And for those of you, you are still seeking, you're wondering, who is He? What does that mean to me? I call you friends. I hope today is the time that you will understand the longing heart of God. So, how often Jesus says long? He said, very often. I long that you hear my voice. And he's basically saying, are you willing today? See, every person in this room has some version of Jerusalem, meaning where some story of your life. Some of you have been resisting for years. Not very dramatic, but just you don't want to. Because you like I told you, I don't want to come to the United States of America. I'm very comfortable. I have my life. I don't need God. Your resistance is not you reject God outright, but you just enjoy. You have your own life. You feel I'm the master of my life. So you don't want to come closer to Him. But you know what? Where you are, Jesus is not surprised. He knows where you are. Your heart. And He's not tired of you, no matter how many times you have rejected Him. Because the text we just read, 23:37-39, it made clear, very clear, that God had been longing. He's often, He called you, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And He called you again and again, persistently, because He know who you are. He know where you are at. He know the struggles that you have. He know the challenges you face. He knows the barriers that hinder you to come. But God hasn't stopped His longing for you. I hope you too, I'm sure some of you have heard it, but I want to say it again. The gospel is very simple. Our Lord went on the cross. He didn't just stare and then say, oh, I'm ready to go. But rather, he spread himself on the cross and he stayed there. He could come down any way he wants, anytime he wants. He's the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He absorbed the judgment, the punishment that our sins deserved. But he took it on himself so that he become our shelter. So he said, the invitation is still open. He wants the people who become willing to come. And lastly, may I ask you, if you have never come to Jesus, come today. If you have walked away in your faith, God said, come back. You're still not sure? I'm not sure. Very simple. Bring your uncertainty to him because he knows you. He's willing to give you protection. He initiated the call to you. So let's pray. Father God, you are the one who called us. You know our hearts. You know our minds. Lord, I pray that you are the one who call out to them in this room, that they will hear, oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long for you. And I pray that you help every one of us respond, that will say, blessed is the one who came in the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name.